Usually I don't start so emotional, but I am emotional tonight. Is that okay? My best friend growing up, not seen him in 12 years plus, and I'm sitting here, and he probably sings real well in his church, but we're sitting there, and we're worshiping together, and that's just almost like flooring me right now, and so thank you for being here. John Blair, my best friend, growing up. So, live tonight. Are you ready to live as the Lord is ready to return? Has anyone heard the saying, I'm burning the midnight oil? Anybody said that before? I'm burning the midnight oil. Amen. You're working on a project. You're working overtime. It took longer than what you thought. I was up late last night. I'm working on a government project. Anybody have a government project they worked on at work? John, you remember Bobby Knight. He'd bring a go-kart in, wouldn't he? And he'd work on a go-kart, and he'd have an overnight project after he got out of work. But we're going to be in a place that we're going to be talking about burning the oil. And I want to know where we burn our oil at and where we want to burn our oil out. And that should be for the Lord. Let's look at Matthew chapter 25 tonight. This is a parable. A parable is a heavenly story with an earthly meaning. Oil is important, isn't it? That's kind of the buzzword today, is oil. Oil prices are fluctuating up and down. We're real happy when the oil goes down and the price of gasoline drops. We're real happy about that. But look, there's uncertainty that happens. There's a lot of things going on in the Middle East, in Kuwait and Iran and the Persian Gulf. And when you're burning the oil and you use it up, you're either full or half or empty. And so we're going to look at this tonight and think about oil and oil consumption and its uses. But here in Matthew 25, it says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels and with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us your oil, for our lamps were gone out. But the wise answered, saying, No, not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. But go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went and to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that went were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." You might want to underline that. "Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I send you, I know you not. Watch you therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Amen. The kingdom of God is likened unto 10 virgins. Now, this is God. This is people that has been saved. Virgins means purity. Purity of the saved. Purity of a Christian that's been forgiven. They are white. They are clean. They've been acceptable unto God by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And so they're living lives that are pleasing to God, which took their lamps. Our lamps would be our professions of faith. And they went out sharing that faith with other people in their lands, in their community, or wherever they went. And they went forth to meet the bridegroom. Who is the bridegroom of the church? Amen. Jesus Christ. So we find the states of mind that these people, these 12 or 10 virgins, they were saved, but 5 were what? Wise, and 5 were unwise. Can somebody be wise in their salvation? Amen. Let's pick it up a little bit. So somebody be wise in their salvation? Amen. Can some people be unwise in their salvation? Say, oh me. That's better. You want to be wise, you don't want to be unwise. But see, the ones that were wise with their salvation were smart, they were patient, they were loyal, and they were knowledgeable. The five foolish ones, they had no caution. They were careless about their salvation. They were not loyal to wait to the bridegroom to come. The vessels in this story were their hearts. See, we're bought by the Word and we're kept by the Word. And the container of those vessels is the Holy Spirit, is the Word of God, is prayer. And so the bridegroom was tarried in him coming home. The Lord was not coming back yet. And so while the Lord is not coming back, they kept their lamps lit. They kept them ready. They kept the oil, which means the Holy Spirit flowing in their lives. But the Lord was tarried, and so he wasn't coming. But why he wasn't coming, they stayed faithful. They stayed working. They stayed obedient. They've been watching for the kingdom. They was watching for the bridegroom to come, and they were promoting the gospel and spreading it. And as you see the story, when the bridegroom come, and I'm going to tell you, a Jewish wedding is a wonderful thing. Because typically, sometimes they have them at night. And that's why they have their lamps. They would make a parade down a street, and they'd have their lamps of oil, and it'd be a big, big, wonderful ceremony that would take place. But all of a sudden, the foolish, what did they say? They said, "Give us your oil." Because their oil ran out. Because of the preoccupation of the world and the things that they were doing and involved in. And they took their eyes off the bridegroom coming and got involved in other things. The foolish said, "Give us your oil. The bridegroom is coming. Give us your oil." They said, "No. We can't give you your oil because we won't have enough for ourselves." I mean, salvation is a great wonder, and the work is great that happens in our heart and life. But the Bible says you've got to keep yourselves in the love of God. Jude 21 says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." You know you can fall out of love. Someone said, "Man, I had a girlfriend, I really loved her, but you know what, we just kind of fell out of love. It just didn't work out. I kind of liked her, but you know, something happened." You know, you can fall out of love in a sport. Amen? You can fall out of love in an activity. I used to love to do that, but I don't anymore. There was five wise versions, five unwise. The unwise kind of fell out of love. What does love mean? When Jude says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God," it means I have tenderness. I have passion. I have affection. I have adoration. I'm devoted. I have loyalty. The five wise were waiting for the Lord's return. They kept their lamps trimmed and oil full. You know, the salvation experience is great, folks. But I'm going to tell you, we got to continue to fill ourselves up with the love of God. Amen. We got to fill ourselves with the Spirit. We got to stay in the Word praying, pleading, leading. Look to Him and lead. Desire to see the backslidden to come home. Desire to see someone else to get saved. Want to know more about Jesus. You know, I learn and I grow in the Word, but I still want to know more. Amen. Don't you want to know more? When I get there, we're still going to know more. I love that song. "I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about that mansion I'm going to receive as my reward. I want to know more about that homeland. I mean to go there someday, somehow. And after I reach that heavenly city, I mean to know more than I know now." You know, many churches aren't filled today. You know why many churches aren't filled today? People are burning their oil in other places. And that love and that tenderness and that compassion and that salvation experience, the joy of that forgiveness of sin and that sweet relationship of God somehow, some way has become second fiddle. And that love and tenderness and compassion and that adoration and that loyalty and the thirst to know Him more. It's just not there. I know what His Word says. Yeah, I've been saved. You know what? You should never say, I've been saved. You ought to say, you know what? I've been wonderfully saved. The Lord did just a great work in my life. It's not like, I've just been saved. Yeah. You've been saved, I've been saved. Let's talk about baseball. This is a wonderful transaction that happened. It's a spiritual transaction that's happened in your life. Don't you remember that? Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many see it and fear it and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such turn aside to lies. Where would our life be if we didn't have the Lord? Where would your life be if you didn't accept the Lord? Some of us, He's drawn out of a horrible pit. Some of it might have been drunkenness. Some of it might be filthy living. It might have been a vile lifestyle. It could have been the sin of unbelief. You know what keeps you out of heaven is not believing in Jesus, trusting in Him, knowing His work and grace on your life. The only way you're going to get to heaven is know and believe and trust in Jesus. I'm going to tell you, some of our marriages would be a mess if it wasn't for Jesus. We'd be tore up if it wasn't for Jesus. Some of the friends I know ain't even alive today because they don't know Jesus. Some of them had great starts in their life, better starts than I had. I'm picking on someone John knows. Doug Hendricks, not alive today. But the man had great potential. You'd look at him on the basketball court. He'd come there. He had cut off jeans. He had long hippie hair. He had old Chuck Taylor tennis shoes that was flat as can be. A lot of us didn't know. But for a job, he helped his dad, and he carried hod. And that's like concrete. And he carried up flights of stairs. And he would take a pole. And he'd take two buckets of cement, and he would carry them day after day, up and down stairs. And John can testify, that boy couldn't even get pants on because his calves were huge, weren't they, John? He was like some huge man coming up and a little skinny waist and not that great of arms or nothing. You see him on the basketball court, you wouldn't think he would not amount to much. You might think he's a little wild man. Here he is in cut-off jeans, playing. 5'11", maybe. Takes a black guy on, 6'5", 6'7". Here he's playing, this little guy, shot. Pop! In the balcony. Right, Johnny? Had everything going for him. Everything going for him. Drugs, alcohol, and then things. Blinded his direction. Johnny, I would say something, man, the potential this guy had. John and I, we were a little shorter. We didn't have that potential. But he's got potential. Wow. When you think of that and that situation, he wasted his oil in the world. Drugs, alcohol, bad living. And I'm going to tell you, people in the church do the same thing. We use our oil in the wrong places. God saved us. He's redeemed us. We use our energies in the places that we shouldn't be using those. And there's churches today and people today that are extinguished. Don't even sit down and say, Lord God, be still, know that I'm God. If we love Him, we got to keep His words and follow Him. And they're exercising themselves in the things of God. Are you doing that? Bible reading and study, praise and adoration. We talked last night about busy, didn't we? I'm not supposed to say that word, am I? Busy. Too busy to serve God. Too busy to follow God. I'm using my oil up in the world. Busy means, what does it mean, church? Brought under Satan's yoke. Busy. Putting God second and third. I'm too busy. And so what's happened is busyness has robbed people from their joy and sweet communication with the Lord. We're all busy. Got to go to work. Got to go to school. Got to cut the grass. Got to fix the car. Got to buy groceries. Girls, got to do your nails. I mean, you got all kinds of things that is going on. Kids' softball, gymnastics, going fishing. You know what? Someone's probably going to leave the service now because I reminded them of something you were supposed to do and you didn't get it done. Oh, man. Where's God in your life? Where's the oil? Oil represents power. Oil represents substance. Oil represents being adorned with the oil of God, anointed. Your lamps represent salvation. And you've got to continually feed your spirit. He is the vine. We are the branches. What's it say in John 15:7? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you. But look at verse 5, or 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. Nor man can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, I am in him. The same bringeth forth fruit, and much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me. Anybody forced? Are you a force to be abiding in the Lord? I mean, when you are saved, it is an unconditional salvation. You come just as you are. You can't fix yourself up. You accept the Lord. It is unconditional. But after you're saved, it's an unconditional salvation, but it's a conditional walk. Amen or on me. Do you follow His word? Do you obey the scriptures? Are you surrendered to Him? Sometimes we forget about it. Give us you all. You see, people that are saved continuously stay spiritually active. They stay in the Word of God. They stay reading in prayer. They stay in worship. They stay in Bible study. They are keeping the oil. The other one said, give me oil. The ones that kept their oil, they have a steadfast zeal for God. They have a steadfast enthusiasm because they've been feeding and meditating on the Word of God. And all of a sudden, these other unwise verses, give me some of yours. Give me some of yours. The bridegroom's coming. Wow. I can't sing like Travis Penn. I can't sing like him. I don't know if I want to sing like him, but I can't sing like him. I can't sing like him. I can't play a guitar like him. Why not? Because this has came through time, study, devotion, time of picking and grinning, I guess, a time of learning, a time of usage. He has kept his oil there. Jan Clay. I can't sing like Jan Clay. I'd love to sing like Jan Clay. Some of these people here know who Jan Clay is. That came from devotion. That came from practice. That came from burning the midnight oil in the things of God to be good. The gifts that God's given you, applying them. Johnny Blair over there. You're going to know him real well. He was the most excellent dribbler for a white boy going to Tech High School.
Now, it didn't come. It didn't come by he just waking up one morning and play basketball. You should have seen the regiment that he had. I'd be walking down a street, and he'd be bouncing a basketball. He'd be going over here. He'd be missing the cracks in the basketball, and he'd go. He'd be going like that. He'd go down to the stop sign. Boom, 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 three times back. Back around again. Great basketball player. I was like a football player trying to play basketball. But he stayed devoted. He ran up and down that block all the time with that basketball. He was working on his skills all the time. He couldn't jump that high. He didn't have the greatest ability, but he had timing. He had faking a shot. He did the bump off and then sometimes step on your foot and shoot. Shoot, he did all kinds of things. That's right, Johnny. I know that. But anyway, it came from devotion. Wanting to be better. When other people just wanted to play ball. Didn't care about their skills. Just wanted to get out there and play. But I can't borrow it from him. I said, I can't say, Johnny, give me your oil. Travis, I can't say, give me your oil. I can't say, give me your gifts. And the five wise virgins, what do? They stayed faithful. They stayed practicing their faith. They stayed living for God. They kept the oils in their lamps. And the other ones say, you know what? They're just delayed in their coming. They're delayed in their coming. You know, we're just going to do what we want to do. I tell you, it is crazy. It is crazy how these things work. People take their salvation for granted, and they shouldn't do it. The five foolish virgins had no oil in their lamps. Their joy of their salvation went out. The sweetness of their salvation went out. They wasn't practicing. They slipped away. They wasn't prepared to meet Jesus Christ because they would not refuel themselves. They wouldn't refuel themselves in the Word of God, in preparation of God. They wasn't expected for their return. The five virgins had to leave the coming of the bride. What does it say? Verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, not so, let there be not enough for us and you, but you go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went, came to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. They had to go buy oil. They had to go rededicate their life to God. They was in a backslidden position. Their devotion and joy was gone. Their loyalty was gone because they wasn't waiting on the master to come home. They're taking their salvation for granted. There was a guy in my workforce named Daryl Brown. I don't know what's happened to him in 10, 12 years. But I know he came to work with me in the area of work that I did. And he was married to a young girl. I don't remember her name, and Johnny may remember it. I don't know. He probably don't seen him either. I don't know. But she was begging me, can you get Daryl back into church? You know, he used to go to church. And his wife, I think it was a pastor's daughter. And she would sit there and come in at lunchtime and just talk to me. They were going through some difficult problems. And so one day I said to Daryl, I said, Daryl, why don't you get back with the Lord and get back to church and, you know, be a family with your wife. And I said, because the Lord's going to come back someday. And he looked at me and he said this. He said, I know about the Lord. I know about the Bible. I went to church. I was raised in church all my life. And he says, I see the Jesus Christ opening those eastern skies, when I see him coming back, you know what? Then I'll get right. And I said, oh, Daryl. Daryl, that's premeditated assumption. You don't know. You might get killed in an auto wreck or something this, and you think you got time to see the eastern skies open up, and then you'll go, oh, Lord, forgive me of all my sin and everything that I'm doing. Oh, wow. He had his oil one time, but he let it dry up. And he had enough Bible knowledge to always, like we said the other night, to find the loophole. What can I do least by with that I still get into heaven? I read the Bible. I've been brought up on the Bible. You know, it's God's way, not our way. Sometimes we like to take God's way and flip it around to manipulate our situation or how we feel. And this is Darryl Brown's situation. Proverbs 1, 24. Because I've called and you refuse, I have stretched out my hand and no man regardeth. But you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamities. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh in desolation, and your desolation cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they will not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. He did not choose to reverence the word of the Lord. He wanted to use the word of the Lord as a loophole that I can do whatever I want to do, live however I want. And then at that last moment, at the eastern skies opening up, when I see Jesus come in the crowds, I'll get right with the Lord then, Brother Tim. And I hope none of you think that way, because if you do, you've spent your oil. You've spent your oil. The five virgins had to leave the coming of the bride. And they had to go renew their salvation. Nothing wrong with that as long as you've got time to do it. But you don't know when. Look at that. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. See, that's the problem in this parable. They thought they had time to go buy some more oil. They got time later to rededicate their life. They got time later to get right with God. But what does it say, the last three words of verse 10? But the door was shut. I'm going to tell you, that's a bad deal, isn't it? The door was shut. And after came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch you therefore. For you neither know the day nor the hour where the Son of Man cometh. I'm okay. We got to keep our vessels right. That's how you live for the Lord. You got to keep the Holy Spirit right. You got to keep your lamps full and your garments clean. Did you know that you can get spiritual dirty after you've been saved? Let's just look at this. Revelation chapter 3. The Lord's talking to the church of Sardis. He has some accusation against them. Now remember, when I say church of Sardis, I'm not talking about the building. This confuses everybody. When I say the church of Sardis, it is the people in the church of Sardis. It is how they're living. It's how they're following the Lord. Amen? Don't be thinking it's some big building, something big, something humongous. It's the people that's in the church. Be watchful. What'd the five unwise virgins do? They wasn't watchful for the Lord. They knew the Lord. They were yoked up with the Lord. But they were unwise in their walk, in their readiness, and their preparation, and staying faithful. Verse 2, but watch and strengthen the things which remain, that you are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. This is the church. This is the people of God he is talking to. He is saying, hold fast and repent. Amen. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know the hour which I come upon thee. Thou hast a few names in Sardis. There's a few people in Sardis. There's a few people in the church.
that has a few names, even in Sardis, even in the church. Now, bust your bubble. Everybody that's in the church going to go to heaven? Yes or no? You're wise. Thou has a few names, even in Sardis, which thou have defiled their garments, and they, there's a difference, there's a transition, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but confess his name before my Father and before his angels. What? Your name has to be in the book of life before it can be blotted out. Amen or oh me. What did they defile? They defiled their walk with God. They defiled their attitude toward God. They defiled their surrender to God. They defiled their preparation for his coming. Wasn't serving him. Wasn't following him. Wasn't obeying him. Even over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Wow. That's a big shot in the arm right there. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Holiness means living for him, following him. Not walking in this, oh, I'm just a sinner, saved by grace, and I just can't help it. And we all just sin, don't we? We just sin. We had this conversation last night, didn't we? We just sin and we just can't help it. When you were saved, God gave you the power over your spirit, didn't he? The Holy Spirit lives within you. You have the power, to sin. Before you were a slave to sin. But now someone is in your heart and someone is in your life. I don't like to. That's why people don't see the power in a Christian, because they're walking just like the world. Oh, I've got problems. I can't help it. I'm just saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And I think we take that low key. God said, I want you to live in victory. I want you to live in power. I've given you power over your problems and your situations. I've given you peace when you're going through a storm. I give you understanding that's beyond this world. I give you wisdom to live by. He gives you all these things, and yet we fall back and we use our oil up and we just, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I just can't help it. And the other guy goes, well, you're just a sinner too. And before you know, we're just all victims of being sinners. Oh, I'm a victim of being a sinner. Aren't you just a victim of being a sinner? No, I've been saved. I've been restored. I got an upward faith. I got an upward life. I got an upward look. And no matter what I go through, no matter what I face, he is there to encourage me beyond my circumstances. Amen? See, when we say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, what you're saying is, I'm living in the natural man and I've used my oil up. He give you power beyond. He's giving you power to live for him beyond any situation or problem that you face or going to face. But you got to keep your vessels full. You got to keep your vessels garnished. Where's your oil? Where are you spending your oil? Do you got any reserve oil? Or is it used up? Things are happening all around, folks. They are. There's things happening in the world right now that we've never heard before. We got floods. We got earthquakes. We got tornadoes. We got Katrina. A lot of people may not know about Katrina. Does anybody know what was going on in Louisiana? The time Katrina hit. Does anybody know? Right. There was a gay rally of over 100,000 gays that were going to meet there
in Louisiana. And you know who just broke all that up? Huh? The Lord. Amen. You got Nepal, you got problems with Russia, you got problems with the Persian Gulf, you got problems with Afghanistan, you've got all kinds of things that are going on. And in Mark 13:7, it says, "And when you shall hear of the wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must need be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places," that means various places, "and there shall be famines, and there shall be troubles, and these are the beginnings of sorrow." And I'm going to tell you, you better have your lamps full. Amen? Because trouble is coming. And I'm going to tell you, trouble is really going to come based on what the Supreme Court decision is going to happen in June on the legalization of homosexual marriage. Because God is looking right down on His people right now. "And as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man." Everybody gets quiet when I say that. But anyway, heaven is a place for a prepared people. Amen? Heaven is a place for a prepared people. And you need to be watching, and you need to be ready, and you need to have your lamps full, and you don't need to spend your time all in the world, just hustle and bustle, and I got this problem, and I got this grandchild, and I got this, and I got this. Where's Jesus? Where's the Lord? Why isn't He number one? Why isn't He filling your soul up? Because we're wasting our oil in all the things that are around us and the problems we face and the situations that we have. And buddy, I can't give you any of mine. And I can't take none of yours. So y'all better be filled up. Amen? Filled up with oil. We can't take each other's oil. Heaven is a place for prepared people. And you need to come know Him. If you've never accepted Him as Jesus Christ and Lord of your life, you need to accept Him tonight. He's calling out to you. You're not here by accident. And if you use your oil up in the world somewhat, and serving Jesus ain't what it used to be, and you've let your world's problems and your situations overtake you, and you're living on that, "Look, I'm just a sinner saved by grace." Don't tell that to Brother Tim. Don't you even mention it to me. Because that's just like a wild hair going up. You're saved. You're a child of God. You can live victorious over any problem, any situation. Man, you're telling me I'm weaker after I got saved than before I got saved? You're saying I'm weaker? Man, I got saved. I got redeemed. There's somebody that lives in me. So it's my thoughts and my minds and my purpose. And then you say, "But you know what? I was a sinner before I was saved, and I guess I'm just a sinner after I'm saved. And there isn't nothing, no power in my life." I'll tell you what's happened. I'll tell you what's happened. You've let the world rob you. Or you use the oil up. Sometimes in the Lord work, you can just burn yourself out a little bit. And you feel like you're all used up. And that happens. What you need to do is come to this altar and say, "Lord, fill my lamp. Whatever the situation is, fill my lamp. Preoccupation with my problems, whatever it might be." To be saved, all you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. He created the heavens and the earth. He was sinless. He walked on the earth, did no sin. Preached the kingdom of God while He was on earth. Died on an old rugged cross. Buried in a grave 3 days. Rose again. Sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. The first prayer God hears is, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Save my soul. I've lived my life without You. I'm going to tell you, a wonderful transaction will take place. And every sin, every guilt, every shame, every embarrassment, every cuss word, anything you ever done will be forgiven. And it'll be put in the seas of forgetfulness. Don't leave this place if you don't know Him. Because just being here, He is reaching out to your heart. He loves you. I can't draw nobody. It's the Holy Spirit that draws. He's the one that draws. See, revival is for the unsaved. Revival is for the Christian that's also emptied himself and starts walking on the low road and not on the power road. Amen. Heads bowed, nobody looking around. You don't let anything stop you from coming to this altar today. Don't let a baby in your way. Don't let anything in your way stop you. I'd go, but that's in my way. I'd go, but someone might see me. Has God spoken to your heart today? Will you raise your hand if He has spoken to your heart through this message all over today? If you need to be saved, won't you come? It'll be the greatest thing you've ever done in your life. Don't hold back. Everybody here loves you and is praying for you in that direction. But maybe some of us said, you know, my oil's got dry. My lamp maybe not light because there's no oil drawn up through the wick. Let's come to the altar where the oil boils out. This revival is for us. It's for one another. Won't you come up to this altar? We got someone coming, someone else come. My oil's been dried out. Won't you come? Lord, I need a refreshing. If you need to be saved, come. Don't fight it. Don't grab a hold of the pew. Don't wait for someone else to go. You go. Do you need a filling? Don't you need to be filled if you're going to go out and witness and do some work for the Lord? Wouldn't this be a good time for a filling? And I want you to know, we don't know how long we got before the Lord comes back. And we can let our garments get dirty. Oh, we can say we're clean. We can compare ourselves to someone else and say, you know what? I'm doing better than they are. I'm doing better than they are. We can't compare ourselves to anybody except the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't compare myself to me. And I can't give you no oil, and you can't give me any of your oil. And I'm going to tell you, I don't want the door to shut on you. The door will shut on you. That's what happened to the five unwise virgins. The door shut on them. They had to go back and rededicate their life. They had to go back and talk to the preacher. And when they come back, the door was shut. Won't you come? Find yourself spiritually dry and the joy of your salvation is somewhat empty. I say, Lord, if you came back right now, I don't know where I'd really be at. I need you to rededicate my life. Lord, I just need you to restore the joy of gladness of my salvation. There's abundant supply here today. There's abundant supply. Last night we talked about God chasers. Maybe you can come to this altar and you say, Lord, I'm going to be a God chaser. I'm going to chase you wherever you go.